You ever talk to anybody that was in despair? I mean, just in despair. I talked to a man recently that I would say is in despair, and was able to give him some words of hope, and I trust that those words will reach his heart. My wife and I were talking this week about a study she was doing from the Psalms, in which she studied the word dismay. Be not dismayed. You know, we sing that song. Do you use the word dismayed much in your conversation? Many people don't. They don't think about what it means to be dismayed. No alternatives, no place to turn, no hope in sight, or to be in despair. But oh my, that precious truth of that song that we just sang. And there are a lot of people in the world who are in despair today. And I know that we, in our prayer time here, pray for people from within our own congregation that have needs. But my, there are so many people that have needs all over our area, all over our state, all over our country, all over the world. One of the ladies in our church and her son loaned us a video last week that we watched. I watched it twice. I enjoyed it so much I want to see it again. And I watched it with my wife. It was called Behind the Sun. Some of you may have seen it. It's a story about a young man who's was a Muslim, came to America, got saved, and went back to his home country, and of course was disowned and rejected by his family. And the Lord worked in his heart about getting in contact with the church there. And one of the things that God used to touch his heart for his own people was to see how the body of Christ had united in prayer for a pastor who'd been arrested in that country for witnessing for discipling Muslim converts. And in the video, they showed churches all over the world that were praying for this man, and God set him free. And I think, you know, sometimes we list the names of other preachers in our prayer bulletin on Wednesday nights. But there are people who need encouragement. You know, we saw the thing about Bruce Hamilton. Dear precious Bruce, I've been a dear friend for many, many years. The church was founded by his father, the Hamilton Acres Baptist Church in Fairbanks, Alaska. Their name is Hamilton. I always thought that the church was named after them. But the neighborhood was called Hamilton Acres before they ever moved there. But Bruce has been so sick, he hasn't been able to preach for over 2 months. And I really think he needs a dear friend to go up there and take him salmon fishing, don't you, Brother Earl? I would be willing to volunteer. But at any rate, we need to pray for Bruce. He's not in despair. He's not the fellow I was talking about. But boy, he's in a tough case right now with his health. You know, you think about having a responsibility to care for others and then to have such a need in your own life. So let's never take it lightly. But in that line, the Lord led me to something this week that I want to share with you. I was mentioning to you, this is not the passage, but from 2 Corinthians, the passage about being cast down but not destroyed. We mentioned that on Sunday. And in our dining room, we have something hanging on the wall that is very, very precious to us. It was given to us by Dr. Tim and Debbie Fisher many years ago. It is a leaf from a Bible. It's the oldest thing we have in our house. That particular Bible was printed in 1611. And the leaf is of Psalm 42. And that's where I want you to turn with me tonight. Psalm 42. Popular song has caused us to focus on the first verse. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. But there's another verse I want to point your attention to tonight. It's actually the verse that connects Psalm 42 and 43, which are probably a unit, or 43 is another stanza of that same song. And the theme is deliverance from despair. When you think about Calvary covering it all, do you really stop to meditate on the reality that you have no need for despair if you understand Calvary? That's the answer to your needs, to your pressures, to your problems. And that it will lift your spirit and draw you back to the Lord. And that hunger and thirst that this psalmist speaks of is satisfied in Christ alone. The verse I want you to look at with me is verse 6. It says, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down." I'm sorry, verse 5. Verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Let me read that verse one more time. Follow the words. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Now look at verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. And now look at Psalm 43 and verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Do you see that? When we sing a hymn, we will sing the stanza and then we will sing the chorus. And in a very real sense, Psalm 42 verse 1 through Psalm 43 verse 5 are like three stanzas with the same verse chorus at the end of each stanza. And since the emphasis is on being delivered from despair, it would be helpful for us to look at these three stanzas and the message of each in order to have this stabilizing benefit in our lives. Sometimes Christians are hesitant to ask the question, why? And truly, if you know the answer to who, you're not as likely to ask the question, why? But I'm thankful that the psalmist asked the question, why? In fact, the word why appears 10 times in these two psalms. Have you ever asked why? Turn to Psalm 42 the next time that question is on your heart and read Psalm 42 and 43. There are a lot of things that we could talk about to establish the context of these particular psalms, but I just want you to see the three things that we find here. The first is this deep sense of separation from God that the psalmist feels in the first five verses of Psalm 42. We have a God who never leaves us or forsakes us. He has promised us that he wouldn't. But that doesn't mean we won't ever feel like we can't get to him. And when a man is in despair, often connected to his despair is the false thinking that God is out of reach, that God doesn't see him anymore, and that if God does see him, he doesn't care about him. Have you ever felt that way? God doesn't see me. God doesn't care about me. I believe that we convince ourselves that that falsehood is true. And we usually do it in justifying our sin. When we choose to sin, our conscience is pricked by the Holy Spirit. But we know a thing is wrong and choose to do it anyway. How can we do that? By telling ourselves, God doesn't see me. And if he sees me, he doesn't care. That is the reasoning of a man who chooses his sin. You see that? And when a man chooses to tell himself that God doesn't see him and God doesn't care, he tells himself a lie that will lead him into despair. Because when that man needs God, the last thing he needs to think is that God doesn't see him or that God doesn't care. I don't know if that's the reasoning process that the psalmist followed or not. But he reached out to God. And he felt separated from God. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Have you ever been really, really thirsty? I get thirsty a lot. You've probably seen, I've made myself thirsty now. You've probably seen that I keep a glass of water in the pulpit. Keep another glass of water on the table over there so I can have something to drink until I can get up here to this water. I always get a drink right before I come in. I've had sinus allergies all my life. I've had two surgeries on my sinuses to try to get some air. And thank the Lord, I am getting some air. But also I have to take medications that really make my throat and mouth dry. And as a result, I have to drink a lot of water. Well, aren't you glad there's such a thing as water? When you're really thirsty, nothing else will do. Cool water. What a refreshing thing that is. And here he says, like a deer, pants for the water brooks. Did you know wild animals can smell water? Well, we can smell the effects of water. You can tell when there's moisture in the air. And Brother Dave, I wonder, do we have anything to burn on Saturday? Are we going to burn anything Saturday? We're not going to burn anything. Well, I was thinking, with this rain, it'd be a good day to burn. Maybe if it rains, we'll just come burn or something like that. There's an old stump pile over there we could take a look at. But you know, you got to have water or things get dry and parched. That's the way our soul gets. And when we don't wash our souls in the water of the Word and they get so dry, we can have that thirst, that craving within us. And sometimes we don't even know what it is. Have you ever been dehydrated and didn't know what was wrong with you? You knew you were thirsty. I've heard people say, I'm not sure this is true. I think it's true in my experience. When you feel thirsty, you're already late. Okay. If you're feeling thirst, you should have had something to drink a while ago. You shouldn't wait that long until you're really feeling thirsty. That's what they say. But sometimes people will wait until they feel very thirsty spiritually. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, Matthew 5 tells us. But here he's talking about that parched craving for water that a wild animal would have that would drive them to a stream, even at the risk of their life. Because it's not just the deer that goes down to the creek. It's all of his enemies as well that would come after him. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? I've got to get in fellowship with God, this man is saying. I've got to get in touch with him. I've got to have what he alone can provide for me. And when is that going to happen? How long will it take? My tears have been my meat day and night while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Think about the picture the psalmist is drawing. When's the last time you shed tears? Your tears were telling you no hope, no relief. Where's your God? How can he help you now? I am so thirsty, I'm about to dehydrate. The only moisture I can find is that in my own tears, which are telling me that God is not near. Not true. God does see you. God does care. He never leaves. He is not the hidden God. He is the God at hand. He may be out of view of the person who's turned his back on him, but he has quickly found the man who will turn to him. We do know where to find him, don't we? And we know how to get to him. Let our tears be not a testimony to our lack of trust, but let's let our tears be a testimony of our need to trust and turn ourselves truly to the Lord. When I remember these things, the psalmist said, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. So that I know where to find God. I'm going to go to God's house. He's talking here about the sanctuary, about the tabernacle, or in the application of a later generation to the temple. In our case, to the fellowship of God's people. I'm going to go where I can find some help. I was telling a man recently, you may think there is no hope, but rest in this knowledge. Other people have been in the same situation you're in now. Other people have gotten through this, and you would do well to find some of those people and ask them how they got out of this situation. You're in despair because you don't know what to do, but there is someone who knows what to do. My wife and I have read a book over the last 3 or 4 weeks, had occasion to recommend it to a dear friend who has a similar condition to my wife's. He called us on the phone while we were in Florida, and I told him about this book, and he said, I'm leaving my office right now. I'm going to buy that book this afternoon, and I will read it this weekend, and I will call you on Monday. I said, all the questions that you're asking are addressed for this book. And so my wife and I read through this book. We would come to each chapter, which is only about 5 or 6 pages long. And the first 2 or 3 pages of each chapter just brought another blow. Ah, oh, no, not that. But then the next 2 or 3 pages told us what you do when that happens. And then there would be a sentence at the end of the chapter. When this happens, here's what you do. Oh, well, okay. Next chapter. Oh, no, not that. But here's what you do if that happens. And every chapter of the book gave the bad news and then what you do about the bad news, which is good news. And every question that we had in our hearts and minds was addressed and answered in that book. When I told my friend about that, he said, that's what I need. You know, God has given us a book. And some of it sounds like shockingly bad news. But for everything bad that can come into life, there's something that we can do in our relationship with God. There is always a next right option. Always. Despair happens when we run out of options that are acceptable to us. But often God will put us in a situation where we run out of acceptable options, so we will accept God's option. Does that make sense? Our circumstances do not make us. Our circumstances reveal us. And as we choose the option of God, He makes us through that choice. Salvation and all decisions that follow thereafter. There are a lot of tears in life. We can bring our tears to the Lord and we can say, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. We need to come to the Word and let the Word say to us, you're not without hope in God. Hope in God. I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. When He turns His face to me and I turn my face to Him, our relationship can be restored. And when we turn our face to Him, we'll see Him smiling back in mercy at us. Yes, He judges us for our sin. Yes, He chastens us. Yes, He disciplines us. Yes, there is suffering in life. But in Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation. Don't ever forget that. You're not separated from God, even though it feels like it. Like a little child who's crying out, who can't see his parent at the moment, but the parent sees him. Second thing in verses 6 through 11 is that even though you feel there is a separation from God, you must still make a supplication to God. You may say, well, I don't even feel like praying. I don't even know what to say. Well, then let David say it for you. That's what I do. I go to the Psalms and I say, Lord, I'm going to borrow a prayer from David. And I just pray one of David's Psalms. Have you ever done that? I recommend that. Cry out in these words. You know they'll reach the Lord because they came from the Lord. And that's where all genuine prayer begins. It begins in the heart of God, touches the heart of man, and is offered back to God. You can make your supplication. Get a corrected focus. That's the first part of making a supplication. Verse 6 says, O my God, my soul is cast down. Well, that's a good change from verse 5. And verse 5 is despair. Oh, my soul, why art thou cast down? Who's he talking to? He's talking to his own feelings, talking to his own emotions, brooding and thinking within himself. And quickly comes to his senses in verse 6 and says, Oh my God, my soul is cast down. I mean, if you have to choose between why art thou cast down, O my soul, and oh my God, my soul is cast down, Which do you think would be the more helpful statement to make? So if you find yourself in verse 5, don't get off the psalm in verse 5. Stay with it till you get to verse 6. You see? Don't bail out too early on this problem. Learn from it. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and from the Hermonites and from the hill Mizar. He's up at the headwaters of the Jordan and he's seeing the bubbling brooks of freshness coming out of the rocks of despair. And he's thinking about God. And he thinks about where that stream will flow as it goes on down and fills up Galilee. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. He's listening to the bubbling springs coming out of the mountains and thinking about the freshness of restoration. Oh, I'm thirsty. Like the hart panteth after the water brooks. That's where I am. But you know what? God's got plenty of water brooks. Some of you have been there. Some of you can hear the chuckling of that spring across the stones even as I speak. And think about that beautiful, refreshing scene that we watched there just a few months ago. And that's what he's talking about here. Deep calleth unto deep, the noise of thy waterspouts, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. What a change. I'm so thirsty, I'm about to be consumed with dehydration, but God has enough to just overwhelm me. He's got enough to meet my need, to quench my thirst. He confesses his condition. He redirects his attention. He thinks about the blessings of God. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. Whether these be waves of despair or waves of God's blessings in despair, all day long, in the night, his song shall be with me. In my prayer unto the God of my life, I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? What's he saying? He's saying, my corrected focus gives me a solid foundation. I realize that God's steadfast love will never change. I'm going to remember his loving kindness day and night. I'm going to realize that if I'm honest about the despair of my heart, he will share with me his solution. Lord, I'm broken. I'm in despair. I'm mourning. The enemy's after me. The sword's in my bones. My enemies reproach me while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? And they've been asking me where you are, and I've been doing the same. But I know where you are. And I'm going to cry out to you. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. That's my answer. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. He helps me with his countenance, but he's the help of my countenance, the psalmist says. And when I see his grace smiling on me, it creates a smile in me and restores me in my soul. Yes, when you feel separated from God, make supplication to God. And if you'll do that, you will know again satisfaction in God. And that's what you really need. Despair is sort of an intense form of dissatisfaction. But if you can learn to be satisfied in God, if you can learn to say, judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation, O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? What need is there for me to respond this way? In essence, he is saying, O send out thy light and thy truth. Lord, I know where the answers are. They're in your word. I'm going to leave the problem with you. That's what he says in verse 1. You know what's best for me. I have no need to fear man. That's what he's saying in verse 2. You're the true source of my help. Getting my way is what got me into despair. Submitting to your way is what will bring me out. Send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me into thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go into the altar of God and to God my exceeding joy. What a change in the tone of these Psalms. My exceeding joy, yea, upon the harp I will praise Thee, O God, my God. You know what? I feel like singing, the psalmist says. Think I'll write me a psalm. Started out in despair. Ended up singing the delights of God. Over and over you see that in the Psalms. You read in the Psalms so many times, David's crying out in pain. I'm hurting. I'm frustrated. They're chasing me. I don't know what to do. Oh, God, help me. And the psalm ends up, you always do. Every time I call on you, you're there for me. You meet my need. You satisfy my soul. It's like a thirsty man who's just had a big drink of cool water. Here's how it works. And the last verse of Psalm 43 is the of the psalmist. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. And what begins as a question of discouragement ends as a rhetorical question of praise. I'm discouraged because I took my eyes off the Lord. I'm in despair because I thought about my problem instead of the solution to my problem. Have you ever done that? Well, what do you need to do? Maybe you came here tonight heavy-hearted. You know why they call it heavy-hearted? Have you ever been heavy-hearted? Feels like something heavy is on your heart. Literally. Take that to the Lord. And let Him lift that burden. And let Him remind you, you're my child. I died on the cross for you. I love you. Weepeth in the night, but joy cometh in the morning. And that's where some of you are today. You're weeping in the night, but joy is coming in the morning. You say, when? In the morning. When's that coming? Whenever the Lord brings the sun up. Okay. You say, but it's so long. I don't know how long I can hold out. You can hold out as long as it takes. Just need to get your eyes on the right thing. You're not separated from God if you're a Christian. You just need to make your supplication to God. And you will find your satisfaction in God. And then you'll be okay. You say, how do you know? I've been there. And I'll probably be there again. So I'll pray for you that you'll remember this. And you pray for me that I'll remember it. And let's both pray for others that they'll either learn it or learn it again. Father, thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your steadfast love. Thank You for Your loving kindness. Thank You for all You have done, all You are doing, all You will do in our lives. We love You. We thank You for Your love for us. Lord, You are so patient. Give us patience. And we know how it comes through the trying of our faith. But with our faith, we come again to see Your smiling face. In Jesus' name, amen.